Now tonight we come to number 10, and I'll talk only about one thing tonight, and that is, as we review, there are some who have the problem with being, this is number 10, being crooked. Now that's not talking about the way they walk. You've heard people say, well, he's a crook. You don't want to buy a car from him. He's a crook. Now that's what I mean. There is born into the Haman nature being crooked. All right? We have many names for people that have this as a predominant trait in their life. We call them thieves. And we call them pickpockets. And we call them purse snatchers. And we call them safe crackers. And we call them embezzlers. And we call them shoplifters. And I guess if we had a policeman here tonight, he could give you about 35 or 40 more names that they call them. Some I couldn't speak and repeat. But I mean, there would be a list of titles of all kinds of people who have this as their predominant problem. I say it's people who've got sticky fingers. They seem to be able to pick up things that don't belong to them and walk off with them. I took my car in one day to have it checked. I don't know what was wrong with it. It was under warranty. So I guess the manager, whoever it is, that takes the car when you drive in, he let me get in it. And so he got in it and he said, hey, fella, you got too many keys. Keys you have on this ring are too heavy for the lock, and this is going to break the lock. Now, you know why I have so many keys? Because Hamans are crooked. I have so many keys, they punch holes in my pockets. And then I lose my keys. They just fall right on out. My leg goes forward, you see. And I wish I didn't have to buy so many keys. Two keys for the back door, and two keys for the front door, and a key for the garage door, and three keys for the car. Right there, you're loaded down, you know. And that's just the beginning. We have keys for everything. Why? Because we know that this is a real problem with people. They like to steal. They like to steal. This, you say, well, is not a predominant problem of mine. And that's good. This is not a good problem to have. Not a good thing for Haman to be in control of. We have spotlights. We have burglar alarms. We have attack dogs. And yet we have an ever-increasing epidemic of thievery and crooks running the streets. God knew this was going to be a real problem. And He made one of the Ten Commandments apply to this aspect of Haman. You know, there's not one of the Ten Commandments that applies to all these faults in Haman. You know about that? There's not one. There is one for immoral. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's one for that one. And that's really a big problem in the life of man. There's one for that one. Thou shalt not steal. Actually, there's one eventually for everything in the Ten Commandment list. But we haven't mentioned all of them, but there is one, thou shalt not. Why? Because stealing is a problem with Haman in control of the soul. The soul will make choices to take things that do not belong to it. Keep in mind again, Haman doesn't like to be told no. He doesn't like to be told you can't have that. Well, take it if there's no other way to get it. It's the easiest way to get something you want without paying for it, if you don't get caught. And it's the easiest way to get something without having to wait a long time until you can make enough money to buy it. It's a way to gratify your desires immediately. I see it, I want it, I take it, and I run. And I got it. I don't have to buy it, and I don't have to worry about where will I get the money or make any monthly payments. I mean, I got it, and I took it, and that's it. It's a very simple way to have and satisfy the desires of Haman. Haman wants things. He believes things will bring him pleasure, so he says, I want that, and that's going to be a problem to get. It's a $5,000 diamond ring. How am I going to buy that? You don't buy it, Haman said, stupid. You walk in there, and you just pluck it, and you walk out. Now, that's not as easy done as said, but I mean, that's what a lot of people think in their mind, and that's what Haman put in our minds, go ahead and take it. Since everyone has Haman in their life, we ask the question, who can I trust? And what do we say today? It's getting where you can't trust anybody anymore. What are we saying? This aspect of Haman is really predominant in the lives of a lot of people, to the point we can't trust children, We can't trust wives. We can't trust school teachers. We can't trust bankers. I mean, they bankrupt our banks. You know, who can you trust anymore? And we say, you can't trust anybody. And that's sad when society gets so bad that you can't trust anybody anymore. We can't trust the police. I mean, who's left? You can't even trust the preachers. Now they're going to prison. I mean, who are you going to trust anymore? We have such a problem today with this aspect in the lives of people that we don't know who to trust. Even people who would not normally ever be considered as untrustworthy and would steal things, even all of us at times have the thought to take something. Do you not? Even the best of us and the most honest of us are sometimes tempted to take something that does not belong to us. The Bible talks about a false balance. Now, I don't think any of you have any problem with that unless you're in business. A false balance would be if you came to the store to buy a bushel of apples and they had a weight over here that was supposed to weigh the same amount as the bushel of apples, and they would, of course, get a weight that was faulty, and you would not be able to get as many apples as you should because the weight of on the scale was adjusted, so you would make a little extra money and not give them some apples that they deserve. And so the Bible says that God hates, it's an abomination to have a crooked scale, a crooked balance. Well, that's a way a lot of people cheat you. And it's in business, they don't give you what you think you're buying, the amount and the quantity. I had a problem with boundary lines. Now, you probably don't have any problem with boundary lines. When I moved over, when I bought the property, we had a dispute over boundary lines. And they'd get out there and they'd pull a stake up and move it over. I'd go out there and I'd pull it up. And now we're talking about inches now, but I mean, it's the point of view. Mine, no, it's mine. So I got the lawyer and I said, well, let's see whose it is. I got a surveyor. Came out there and the surveyor drove down a great big old right in the corner. He couldn't get it up. And I was right. I knew I was right. I'd already had it surveyed once, you know. He lost about 3 feet of his property. He was really upset, you know. But have you ever had a boundary line problem? A lot of people do. They put their fence over on your side, and one day you begin to build something. Really, hey, neighbor, you got your fence over on my property. Tough luck. Fenced in, it's mine. That never makes it legally, even though I think it's the law of what? The law of possession or something. You fence something in and something yours is yours. That's not wrong. My daddy, when he died, left some land to us. Well, left some land to me. I'm the only us there is. I'm the only child. Somewhere, I don't know, you know, and called Epsom Down. I'm the son of a racetrack, but somewhere around here, on the way to Beaumont. I've never been there. I don't know what's there, but the last time I talked to my kinfolks was that somebody fenced it in. I guess it's gone now. I couldn't find the land. It's undivided land among five heirs, and nobody will split it up, and nobody will buy it, so it's just totally wasteful anyway. What are you going to do with it? It's not right to me, even though I put a fence on something and say, well, I've got it so many years, it's now mine. I claim it. But there are those that still have problem with boundary line. And they're willing to take a few inches if they can get it. And they'll put their fence over on your line knowing that it's off. So there are those who wouldn't steal from a bank, would take a little bit of land if they could get that on their own. Then there are the problems you always have in society where in making change, the clerk gives you more than you ought to get. And you realize it, and there's always Haman says, why don't you keep it, stupid? She made the mistake. That's her problem. I guarantee you, if she made the mistake against my favor, I'd let her know about it right quick. Hey, you didn't give me a chance, lady. But she said, we always had a thought, well, don't give it back. Just keep it. The other day, Mary Lou and I went out to eat at a restaurant, and she noted on the check that we had not been charged for a salad dish. We bought two, and we were only charged for one. So I went up to the guy when we checked out, and I said, listen, we ate two salads, and we were only charged for one. The lady made a mistake, and so on. He said, well, I am so glad to find somebody who is honest and admits that they owe us money. I'm just going to give it to you. Now, I don't know whether he had the authority to give away meals or not. But that's his problem, you know. That's in my mind now, you know. I don't know who authorized him to start giving away plates. You know, he didn't own the restaurant. But anyway, he may have, I don't know. But anyway, he was surprised that somebody would be honest enough to admit, well, I owe you money. I remember one time I was at Randall's. The Lord, I believe, allows us to be tested on this area. See how honest we'll be. I was at Randall's and I was buying a calendar. And I went to check out and the lady rang up the price. And I said, wait a minute. The price on the stand back there where the calendars were displayed was a dollar more than you punched on your cash register. She said, well, this sir is in the computer. And these are the prices, and these are right. And I said, well, sorry with me. If you don't want the dollar, I'll be glad to take it for a dollar less. I won't argue with you. So she called over one of the checkers. She said, you go back there and look on that stand. And so he went back there, and he came back, and he said, this is the price. And sure enough, it was a dollar less than she charged me. Dollar. I owed her a dollar. And she said, here, it's free. Take it. I said, what are you talking about? She said, we have a policy in this store. If there's any prices marked wrong, you get to add them free. I said, I'm going to run every aisle you got. If you give me a list, I'm going to go get everything. I didn't know they had that policy. So I walked out paying nothing for the calendar. And I wasn't going to pay her a dollar more. And I got it for nothing. I thought that was great. Now, another time, I'm always having problems with stuff, you know. I had to get a light. I went to get the car inspected, and they wouldn't inspect it because the plastic light thing, not the bulb, but the plastic, I don't know, the globe, what do you call it, the framework or anything. It was cracked. And they said, well, we won't pass these in state inspection unless you get it fixed, the lens. And I said, okay. So I went to a wrecking yard. That's the only place you could find one. It's an old wagon, you know. The guy said, well, how much is it? He said, $15. I said, all right, I got a $20 bill. I said, $15 and a nickel. $15 and a nickel. So I had a $10 bill, a $20 bill, and a $5 bill. I said, fella, I have no change. So I said, I'll give you a $20 bill. Here. I don't have any change either. So he said, you owe me a nickel. I still like got a nickel. Yeah, and I got to get back over there and pay him that nickel. You know, it would cost me more than a nickel to drive over there. But I mean, I still owe it, and I don't want to be guilty of stealing. But Haman says, man, that is dumb. He overcharged you for it anyway. It was this clerk, and that was true. You know? But I mean, I wasn't forced to buy it. The guy didn't twist my arm. I saw it, and I bought it. And he gave the price, and I owe him a nickel. But Haman is always ready and willing to steal something that does not belong to him. Many have problems at work taking things that are there. Small things. They don't walk off with a company truck, but I mean, they're small things, and they feel like the company won't miss them, and so they just take them. I don't know whether the company has given them permission or not, but that's a problem, and people visit their house and they see the company everywhere. It's like the company has furnished the garage. You know, that's wrong. If the company has a safety to do that, it's wrong. Then some, Haman takes the direction of plagiarism. I don't think that's going to be a problem of yours. But you take another person's idea and you pass it off as your own. And that's why we have copyright laws. And that's why we have trademarks. And that's why we have patents. Because the Haman instinct is so strong that if I find something you have, I not only copy it, I'll claim it as mine, and I'll make money off of it. I remember Bear was telling me about some man that was suing Sears. You men who buy Sears tools, you know that their ratchets have a little button on them. You can push the ratchet button and the little socket will fall off. It's real easy to get off of it. Well, that man invented a little button, and Sears didn't pay him for it. And he sued him. And Barry said that he won the lawsuit. That Sears' legal team, filled with the Haman spirit, wouldn't pay the man what was due him because they wanted all the money themselves. Now that's stupid. On a corporate level. On a corporate level. I was listening to the radio the other day and this lady called in and she was saying, what do I do, a financial advisor? So I have an invention I have thought up to help with babies. I don't know what it was she wouldn't say. And he said, what should I do? Should I try to patent it myself? Should I try to put it out to some business and let them look at it? He said, well, you go to a business, a reputable business that you know is reputable, and you tell them you have an idea. Don't give them very many details. Give them no drawings, no blueprints, and no sample, and no example. And just ask them, would you be interested in a product like that? Because they'll steal it and manufacture it, and you won't get a dime. Now, that's the Haman spirit in industry. And there are always lawsuits going on over things like this. Somebody's idea has been taken and stolen. Somebody's making money off of it. Most of you know my wife is in craft business, and one of the big, big things among craft people is, you stole my idea. You know, that's almost the unpardonable sin among crafters. If somebody comes up with an original idea, and they're doing real well, and then somebody down the aisle comes up here, ooh, that's a good idea. And they either buy one and go back and reproduce it, or just take the idea and then they start selling, underselling. And then, of course, this person got the idea, can't do a thing about it. Not patenting, not copyrighting, you can't do it. But I mean, it's the principle, really. And it's unfair, it's not wrong. But it's, you learn in the crap business, boy, you just don't do that, or your name is M-U-D, mud. You know. But people still do it. Still do it. And vendors sue each other. I mean, you know that, but they do. These crap people will sue each other over these things because that was their idea. And that gets kind of expensive. But I mean, the Haman spirit is there. And it comes out in people. I remember a story, and I don't know this. Let me say this. I'll turn one page too many. Income tax is a time when we really have, as Christians, a problem with Haman. Being honest in our reporting of income, that's one of the most difficult times, I believe, for anybody to control Haman, because he really gets upset at income tax time. And I can understand this. I recall visiting a member of this church, no longer here, and they did not come very much when they were members. This is years ago. And they were in the hospital, and when I went there, they were making some things while they were in the bed. And I said, well, are you in business? And they said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, how's your business? And they're real good, and it's all profit. I don't have to pay any taxes on this. A lot of people do that. I went to a machine shop one time with a roller, steel roller. And I asked the man, I said, can you fix this roller? And he said, yep. And I said, how much would it be? He said, it'd be $20 cash and $40 check. Now, he didn't tell me about quite a difference. I just assumed that it would be unreported to the government if it was $20. And if it was $40, he had to declare his income and the check would be proof that he got paid. Now, I can't say that that's guilty, but I don't know why he would just say $20 for cash and $40 for check. So we see Haman come out in people more often than we might realize. We don't go to banks and we don't stick up banks and we don't steal cars, but I mean, there are more ways to get involved in Haman's way of stealing than that. There are people who get involved in scams. I hope you have never been victimized by one. I have. I should have known better, but I did not. And now I have learned, and I don't dabble in things anymore like this. But there are a lot of people out there that will cheat you out of your money if you give them half a chance. And you read and you hear on television warnings that there's a group in town with the new scam out, and they are going door to door, they're getting on the phone, and they are out to cheat people out of their money. I remember one, I don't know who told me this, where this man had sold the same house to four different people and asked for a earnest down payment money to make sure they were sincere before he finalized the papers. And he got four people that very day, sold the same house and skipped town, and it wasn't even his house. It's funny, but you know, it's sad that people sit. And Haman can scheme up ways to cheat people. I mean, he is a master cheater. He can really do this. He can take you through the cleaners with a straight face and laugh all the way. And he has no heart for what happens to you. And what some widows and some poor people have been left absolutely broke over financial scams that they have gotten suckered into through people like this. I remember hearing about this, and I think it was while I was over visiting Coy one day. He may correct me on this. The story is kind of vague, but I think there was a motorcycle for sale, but I'm going to use the illustration I think it was a motorcycle, though. Anyway, about they wanted to ride it, you know, test it out, and I thought, well, man, that's kind of risky. Just, here, take off. You can't go riding on a motorcycle with a guy. You know, I guess you could. I wouldn't do it anyway. But anyway, he wanted to test it out. I said, that's all right. But I said, well, it doesn't make any difference because his car is sitting there. Somewhere, I found this out somewhere, that there are people who will go and check out a motorcycle or a car, a sports car they want to buy, and they will drive up in a nice car, park in front of the house. I'd like to test drive the car. Nothing wrong with that. Sure. Be back in a few minutes. A few hours pass, and the guy's not back. The sun sets on the guy, but his car's still sitting out there, and that car out there is a lot more valuable than the one he's driving around. So he calls the police. The car sitting out there stolen. And he has just lost his motorcycle or lost his car to a swindler. Now, that's Haman, people, and those Hamans are sitting up there planning and plotting continually over how they can get away with things that they want that are not there. We could go on tonight with all kinds of various ways that Haman could scheme up to get things or get money and defraud people, and I'll not do that. He is a thief in his heart. He has larceny in his heart, and he will steal. Now, I don't know what level of this is a problem in your life. Before leaving this facet of Haman's personality, I can't neglect one other area of stealing, and that's stealing from God. Many a person who thus far tonight has said, well, Billy, at last you got one that I'm not guilty of. I mean, on these, I have some real problems with a lot of these, but tonight, Mary Lou, I asked Mary Lou, she said, well, are you guilty of the one tonight? And I said, no, I think I'm fairly well clean on this one. This is not a real problem with me. I'm not saying that I am lily white and that I never have a problem with this, but I am very mindful of this, and I try to be honest. But I'm probably crooked in ways, and I haven't even quite recognized what it was yet. But when you come to this one aspect of this personality trait of Haman, we have more Christians guilty than of anything else. And a magnitude that is overwhelming. That's overwhelming to us. I think it was Tom Menifee who said one night at a finance meeting that if everybody tithed in the church, we wouldn't know what to do with the money. We would have it stacked to the ceiling. You know, we have it carted out by armored trucks. You know, and that's true. We have to buy, I don't know what to do, give it away, I guess. We have too much of it. There's no way you could spend that kind of money in a church. But you don't have that problem. You have that problem. But I'm saying, this is an area where a lot of Christians listen to Haman. And you really stop and think about this. This was a charge that God brought against Israel as to why he had cut off their blessings. And he said to them, you have robbed me. Now he said that. You have robbed me. You're robbers. You have robbed me of my tithes and my offering. I didn't say that. God did. So, you know, don't get upset with me because I said it, but it's what the Lord said. And I believe Haman gets his greatest thrill when it comes to stealing by stealing from God. It takes more daring and more guts and more stamina to steal from the bank in mid-daylight than it does at night to go out here and swap a bicycle in front of a house. I mean, you got to really be brazen to walk into a bank. But even more daring than that is to go and take what God says belongs to Him right out from under His nose while He's looking at you. Walk off with it and dare him to do anything about it. Now that is brazen. And old Haman loves that. That is truly Haman. I don't know any other way to put it. But he gets a real kick out of going up against God. And we'll finally get to this. Haman hates. I'll say it one more time. Haman hates God. And this is one area where he can really dig in. And he really enjoys stealing from God. I really believe that. Now, I'm not going to harp on this. It's the same kind of thrill that a boy would get from stealing the chief of police car. The same kind of deal, you know. That's the biggie. Well, every one of us faces and will face the problem of being crooked all the days of our lives. And Haman can turn anybody into a thief. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Hopefully we can control this urge. It is one that can get you arrested. It is one that can land you in jail. Now this is a serious charge. And so be careful now, folks. That possibility is there. Don't neglect it. It's there. There are many types of fraud. And there are many types of stealing I have not touched upon, and I will not. Because I can't think of them. I would. But you get the idea tonight that we have another problem now in our personality. And hopefully it's a small one in yours. A very, very small one. But it's there. And in the lives of some people, it's very big. And they will steal when it makes absolutely no sense. You read about Hollywood stars that have millions of dollars shoplifting, and it absolutely blows your mind. What on earth are they doing stealing something like that? Probably worth $10. Why? Because Haman just said, do it. And they did it. And it's crazy. And that's right. Haman is crazy. And he convinces the person, me, to do something crazy. Why do that? It makes no sense. And yet a lot of the things that we do because of Haman's advice absolutely make no sense. They are stupid. And yet we do them. Father, we're thankful again this night to know that as we study this series of sermons on the flesh and how to be happy and how to have victory and how to be delivered, we're eventually going to come to that point where we can find Christ as the answer and the solution to all these aspects of the personality of Haman. May he not interfere with us and stop us from learning more and more about him, for in so doing we will give up and he will win the battle. But it's through knowledge and understanding that we will eventually come to the point where we can have the change and the victory and the joy and the happiness that you can bring. So Lord, again, convince us to continue on as we learn more and more about what we're like and why we're like we are and the potential dangers that we're going to face because of this person called Haman that lives within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.